Paul Ehrlich is a professor of population studies at Stanford University. He spoke last night about how population growth impacts our world. Paul Ehrlich was at the Mahaffey Theater in St. Petersburg last night to talk about his new book, The Dominant Animal, in which he describes the rise of human beings to the most dominant species on the planet and what we can do to reverse the negative impact humanity has had on the environment.
Starting about two centuries ago, we really began to clear the surface of the planet for agriculture, large scale. Slowly but surely, we have not only cleared it, we've built all over it. We've laced the planet first with railroads and then with roads. We filled the air with aircraft, now jet aircraft. We are now in the process of changing the climate. We mobilize minerals at a faster rate in many cases than any natural processes like erosion. We add more oil to the oceans than are naturally added by natural seeps. We interfere in the nitrogen cycle, adding more nitrogen fixed by the Haber process than is fixed naturally by various natural processes. We are dominant by almost any measure you want to take. So we have taken over the planet. We have emptied the seas virtually of fishes. We've affected them right down to the bottom. Huge areas of sea, for instance, in the North Sea, they get trawls dragged over the bottom, which destroy the natural systems that generate fishes eventually, get trawled over every few weeks all year long. The oceans have pretty well had it, as most people know, although there's still some possibilities of recovery, although I'm not hopeful about that. So we are the dominant animal.
Ehrlich described a way to model the impact of a population on the environment.
When you look at the pressures on our life support systems, they're usually formalized into a very simple little equation called the IPAT equation, which simply says that the impact of a population on its life support systems is a function of three different things. This is going to be on the final exam. IPAT stands for population is P multiplied times per capita consumption, which we call affluence because it's really tough to say I pick it each time. So it's population, number of people you have, times affluence, that is how much each person demands from its life, from the life support systems, followed by T, which is the technologies you use to supply the demand in the affluence, as well as the social and political arrangements that you use to do that supplying. Not a very complicated formula. It was first put together in order to demonstrate to people that the idea that the environmental problems of the world were caused by poor Indians who didn't understand contraception, when in fact most of the environmental problems of the world are traceable to the rich who don't understand how to control their consumption.
Ehrlich goes on to address several of the problems that are caused by the negative impact of populations on the environment.
The thing that gets most of the publicity nowadays, although it may not be the most serious, is climate change. And when you read about climate change, you could easily get the impression that A, it's the most serious environmental problem, and it may be, we're not sure, and B, that the big problem with climate change is sea level rise. Now, at John's house, that's probably true. But over the world as a whole, that's not true. In other words, yes, it's true. In 150 years, probably half of Florida will be gone, and there'll be a lovely reef over Miami if the water's not too acidic from the amount of carbon dioxide. Then you might get a wonderful fish populations there and over St. Petersburg. You'll all be underwater. You've seen a map of what Florida will look like after a few feet of sea level rise. It's kind of interesting. But I guarantee you, unless we're extraordinarily unlucky, and have a big storm at the same time, all of you will be able to outwalk sea level rise. What you won't be able to do is eat, because many people will starve because of climate change. For example, over much of South Asia, both rice and wheat are now grown within a degree or two of the maximum temperature they can tolerate. And so we've already seen globally a decrease in the amount of grain produced over what would have been produced if it hadn't been for the global heating. Climate change, extraordinarily serious problem, may not be as serious as some of the others. For example, it may not be as serious as land use change, which is wiping out biodiversity, which is wiping out the working parts of our life support systems. It may not be as serious as toxification of the planet. The number of toxic chemicals being released is gigantic, and we don't know a thing about the effects of most of them on human beings directly, and hardly any of them on the life support systems we're talking about singly, let alone in combinations, synergisms. Many chemicals which are essentially harmless alone can be turned deadly if they're in combination with something else. None of the research is done. There are no serious cost-benefit analyses of whether or not this new dye for eyeliner is going to interact in a bad way with something else and give you cancer or give frogs sudden death syndrome and so on. The kinds of things that really frighten scientists are subarctic villages now where there are fewer, roughly half as many male children born as female, not a good sign.
Last night's lecture concluded a series of energy and the environment lectures hosted by USF and Progress Energy.
50 years of rapid change in how we think about the environment is a really cheering thing. Unfortunately, the environment, our technology, is changing even much more rapidly. So the basic point is, when the time is ripe, as I say to virtually every audience, we could change dramatically on all these fronts. We just don't know what can cause the time to become ripe, but we all have to work to find that way and to ripen the time. Thank you very much.
For WMNF in St. Petersburg, I'm Jamie Kidder.